All right. Good morning. How's everyone doing today?
I hope everyone had an incredible holiday with their families. I hope everyone had a happy new year. We haven't been together for a couple weeks. I missed all of your beautiful faces, especially yours, Kurt. Welcome to Iron Men 2024. First Iron Men Connect of the year. Really looking forward to what God has for us today and for this year. I want to invite Ron Tucson, come on up. He's going to introduce to us this morning's teaching fellow. And Ron, if you could as well. Yeah, give it up for Ron. We got the Out of Boxers. Yeah, if you guys didn't know, there's a table outside and they're the Out of Boxers and they're going to be owning this month and really looking forward to it. Ron, if you could also, within the intro, if you wouldn't mind opening us up in prayer, that'd be awesome.
Let me do that right now. Let's pray together. God, thank you so much for the joy of knowing you, first of all. We wouldn't know each other probably if we didn't know you. Thank you that you're that catalyst and you're that North Star that has united us together. And thank you that you never stop being that North Star. And so thank you for the opportunity to talk about that even today. God, we love you. Thank you for including us in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, welcome to y'all. And like Ryan was said, the name of our table is the Out of Boxers. Now, some strange creative people came up with that name before I was ever a part of it. So just saying, there's some weird people in our group. Some other more normal people have been at it. I came a little bit later. But it's just because we do have a lot of creative people that think creatively. They've made their living that way, and they're still doing that. Our table is doing this, so let me start us, because there's going to be three of us that are going to be doing this over the next 3 weeks. And the first one is going to be David Hume. Now, let me just introduce you. I'll tell you a little bit about David. David is a guy, I just got to tell you, is a really, really deep thinker. If you've ever spent much time with him, this guy thinks really, really deeply. He spent years studying and expanding the theory of empiricist philosophy. That maybe even be a little bit over some of your heads. And he was born in Scotland in 1711. Wait a minute. Yeah, I got the wrong David Hume. Hang on a second. Here he is. Yes. I'm so sorry. You know, I actually got to know David last June when we sat across the street over here, a country house, and began to learn a little bit about his life. And he grew up in the Pocono Mountains of Pennsylvania, a little ways from Scotland. And his parents were divorced when he was pretty young. And his only connection with the church was singing in choirs because he loved the creative arts. He loved singing, and he'd be willing to go any place that he could do that. And he loved singing and dancing and performing in the theater so much that when he got out of high school and went to college, actually got his degree in theater arts, and then he went on and got his master's in directing. And well, it's while he was getting his master's degree that he ran into a friend who invited him to come to his church. And since he really had always had an interest in Jesus and didn't know that much about Jesus, he went ahead and went with him. And it was in that environment that he really came into a very authentic relationship with Christ. And it really began to change his life when he'd been kind of living off the script, the college script, you know, of girls and bars. His life really started to change. And he began to even wonder how his degree and how his theater and all this stuff was going to work out in his career and as he moved forward. So after graduation, what he ended up doing was taking a job in the administration department of Northwestern University up in Chicago, and where he was able also to get a second master's degree in the study of analytics. But two huge things happened to him when he was there. And this is really critical. The first one was that he got connected with a really great church where he found that discipleship that he was craving because he began to have a real desire to know and understand the Bible so it could really affect his life. And he also in that church was able to use his skills by being part of the worship team and being part of the theater department and the theater working stuff. And he led productions and was in doing the worship things for the next 15 years. But there's a second thing that happened that was probably even bigger. And it was there that he met his wife of now 23 years. And the troop grew to three when they added a daughter 4 years later, who is today a national champion baton twirler up at Mississippi State. Okay? And then a year and a half ago, they moved down here to Claremont to be closer to his wife's parents. And then today, he's right here in Winter Garden with us. So, David, let's welcome David.
Thank you, Ron. And actually, the pronunciation, my last name is Hull. So it's, I'm not David Hill, I'm David Hull, but David Hugh, but I'll take it anyway. Appreciate Ron and introduction. I just want to say good morning and Happy New Year to Iron Men of God. For starters, I'd like to ask us all to stand and we'll read the Bible passages this morning. I'll be reading from Luke chapter 5, verses 4 through 11. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, and were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you're catching men." And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Amen. Today we want to begin looking at Peter from our new book, 12 Ordinary Men. And I'd like to talk about how Jesus shaped Peter as a true leader for God's kingdom work through his life experiences and how he is really doing the same for each of us in our own unique lives. As we think about the passage, we see here that Simon Peter was an ordinary man. He was just a fisherman. A fisher, obviously fish. But more often than not, through the hardships of daily life, his nets were more empty than full. Peter, as a professional fisher, knew when things weren't going well, it was time to give up. So when Jesus asked him to go out into the deep and cast down his nets, he was initially reluctant, and he and his companions had tried and failed all night. But we do see a glimpse of Peter's obedience. He does what Jesus requests. And at that, we know that there is a miraculous catch of fish that fills the nets two boats worth to the point of sinking. At this, Peter was amazed by the power of God in Jesus and became overwhelmed, recognizing his sinfulness. He felt unworthy in the presence of the Lord. And then Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men." Jesus clearly had plans for Simon Peter. As Peter chose to leave everything and follow him, his life at that point never be the same. Our author, John MacArthur, stresses that true leaders are made, not born. From this point, Jesus would train Peter through various life experiences in 3 years of his earthly ministry. It was not a linear progression, but full of zigs and zags, ups and downs, along with a mixture of discipline, encouragement, forgiveness, and restoration. In shaping Peter as a great leader, let's think about some of his blessings and successes. When Jesus first called him, he was renamed from Simon to Cephas, or otherwise Peter, which means the rock. This was to reveal the hope that the Lord had for him to be the leader of the foundation of his future church. Jesus saw something in Peter that was leadership material above the others. Of course, at this time, Peter didn't have the qualities of the rock, but there were some elements to his personality. He was very bold and aggressive. Peter had so many other blessings shaping him. We can only imagine all the miracles and works of God that Peter witnessed in his time with Christ. He was also chosen as part of the group to go with Jesus to the Mount of Transfiguration. What amazing experiences for only an ordinary man. What about Peter's challenges? We can call them the zags or the downs. Jesus never brought about experiences of failure for Peter so that he might run away, but rather to teach him very valuable lessons that would sharpen and sustain him as a leader later. Still, Peter had to experience them, and most of the time they were direct results of his behavior and choices. As MacArthur titled Peter's chapter, he was the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. There are two notorious examples. Peter boldly demanded Jesus save himself from his upcoming death, and then he was rebuked harshly. "Get behind me, Satan," Jesus said. Can you imagine being the only disciple of the group called Satan from Jesus? It wasn't easy for Peter to hear. Then we have the most infamous, Peter's three denials on the night Jesus was arrested. He was haunted by his words, "Master, I will never leave you." And he failed once, twice, three times. His foot was surely left in his mouth. More than that, after Jesus' crucifixion, Peter's shame and guilt began to consume him. It is thought that he may have returned to his old life on the boats after this. His failures humanly were too much to bear and overcome, but God was not done with him yet. The risen Jesus would give him the lasting experience of God's unconditional love and faithfulness in restoring people with a breakfast invitation on the shore of the Sea of Tiberias. Jesus did this with motherly care and yet with a strategic lesson, asking Peter, "Do you love me more than these?" three times, which mirrored each of Peter's denials. Peter affirmed, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you," followed by Jesus' clear commands, "Feed my lambs, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." In this, Jesus recommissioned Peter to his original call. Jesus' love and restoration ultimately prepared Peter for later when the Holy Spirit came at Pentecost, which paved the way for him to take hold as the pillar of the church as the gospel moved to the Gentiles and to the rest of the world. Now, Ron graciously shared a lot about my story. I will do a little bit shorter version on the rest of the details. After finding Jesus in graduate school, I did a 180 degree turn. My life was never the same. I became a new creation in Jesus. And I believe that Jesus was shaping me into a leader and a fisher of men. First came my blessings and successes. I got that job at Northwestern University, but most importantly, it planted me on the campus where I could join campus ministry and start inviting Northwestern students to Bible study. And God provided, amazingly, these intellectual students coming thirsting for Christ. Christ also knew my heart. He led me to my wife, Colleen, and she was truly the real balance for me. All those years, I had thirsted for love, and God gave me the perfect partner. He blessed me quickly with two promotions, and I was able to support my family. And he gave us the precious gift of my daughter, Danielle, who's such a blessing and so talented. Later, I did obtain my master's in analytics and expanded my career further. Most importantly, though, God helped me to grow in ministry, and he used my talents for 15 years, singing on the vocal team, presiding worship service, writing and directing scripts during our holiday programs, and coordinating conferences. There were so many tasks that Jesus had for me for his kingdom. He also showed me world mission vision. He took me on prayer journeys to Asia, Russia, Europe, and Africa. And in 2011, I was even chosen to share my life testimony in Seoul, South Korea, in the Olympic gymnasium in front of a few thousand people. So many amazing things that Jesus had done for me. So you would think that this would be the happily ever after story. But like Peter, in the course of my life, there were zigs and then there were the zags. I experienced great failure like him that almost crippled me. In the course of my time, pornography entered my life. I didn't bring God with me to fight it. I tried doing it all myself. I kept it hidden in the dark, and it became an addiction. It spiraled out of control, and God brought me to the light, disciplining me in many humbling ways. It almost cost me my marriage. Spiritually, I burned out, and I walked away from the life of servantship I once had. I sat on the sidelines for a number of years. I felt so shameful and unworthy, and I questioned, why did the Lord call me to such a level and then only to fail him? But at some point, Jesus appeared to me again. He reminded me of who he was and who he wants me to be. I found that he had not given up on me. Last year, my family moved from Chicago here to Florida. It was for new beginnings, and I prayed sincerely that it would be the makings of a new chapter for me as God's servant. I didn't know what to expect or where I would go. We first found a church at South Lake, and there the Lord led me to Joe Sparrow, ultimately here to Iron Men of God. I'm so thankful for this group and God's work. I really praise Jesus, who loves me, who is faithful and restoring me, just as he did with Peter. I've heard his renewed call to go out into the deep, to cast my nets with faith and to follow him newly. And I believe he will continue his work to make me a fruitful fisher of men. Likewise, from what I've witnessed among us here in this group, I believe that God will work in us. We are just ordinary men, each one of us, but he will build us up. He will shape us and reshape us if we need to be in order to catch men for his glory. I believe he will shape us, ordinary men, to be extraordinary in Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise to you for the gift of our Lord Jesus. We thank you, Father, for this new book that we're studying, 12 Ordinary Men. And we ask, Father, that we all may be shaped through the Lord Jesus Christ, that we may put our faith in him, choose to follow him, and hear his call to catch men. Lord, please go with us. Please make us fruit. Help us to support one another, to sharpen one another. May you be glorified and your kingdom grow through this group. We thank you and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, give it up for David one more time. David, thank you so much. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us. Really looking forward to table time together this morning. So I'm going to pass it over to the table captains. And I sent out three questions yesterday that David put together for the rest of our time together. So table captains, the floor is yours.